Recently, I was asked a question about to list a lot of the verses in the scriptures about what would be a description of heaven. And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of something that actually happened here about 2 years ago and some change. And 2 years ago, some change was our annual meeting, and Elder Glenn Blanchard was here with us, and he preached a sermon that has always kind of reigned in the back of my mind. I didn't know if I'd, you know, sometimes you always have those good nuggets from preachers who have been here before, and it just reminds you of things that you want to kind of keep with you. And as I was attempted to answer this question about whether or not, you know, the description of heaven as far as listing all the verses in the scriptures, I got this wonderful, the Bible is a wonderful, I love the King James language, and it paints a wonderful, wonderful picture. And as I think about it, you know, I could probably tell you briefly, you know, a lot of the areas where it would be good to go reference what heaven is going to be like. And I'll just give you a few nuggets so that you can go look these up at home when you get a chance. But over in Isaiah chapter 6, you read one there. In verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw that the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And I do love the King James Bible because it's very, not only do I believe it's the best translation that we have from Hebrew and Greek into English, but I love the language that it says. You can go over to Revelation chapter 21, the whole chapter, and the first five verses of Revelation 22. John chapter 14 and verse 2 says that he is going to prepare a place for us, and it has many mansions. And when we start to get this picture of what heaven is like, I don't know how you function. Each and every one of you has different personalities. You have different thought processes. You're just different. And we can say it that way, and that'll work. And I don't know how you function when you start to think about things. I can remember sitting in engineering classes, and a professor would talk about these. He worked with NASA, and he worked at all with all these rockets and different things. And he would describe the flight patterns of these rockets, and I would try to picture in my mind kind of what it looks like. But if you had never seen the beach and somebody described it to you, what would you come up with? What would your image be? You know, we've never seen heaven, but we have a description here of what it is going to be like. You can go over and read in Revelation about how there are gates that are made of pearl. The walls in each layer is built up with a different type of stone. And you'll read about how the streets are basically streets of gold. And you can get a picture there that there is no moon, there is no sun, there is no temple there. Even though there are these walls, there's no temple there because God and Jesus and the Lamb who is on his right hand are the temple. And so when you start to kind of get this picture of what heaven's going to be like, and it's a very beautiful thing. And one of these days, I hope, Lord willing, you know, I'm going to get to see that place. And it is going to be a glorious thing. And it's not something, you know, I think I speak like the Apostle Paul when he said that, you know, for the time being, you know, it was better that he was here present with the people to serve those people. But he was ready to go home. He was tired. He was ready to go home. And I think about the sermon from Elder Blanchard from 2 years ago. And as I thought about all this weekend, he says, you know, if it were my last sermon, what would I say? He talked briefly about heaven and, you know, about how his desire one of these days as he was getting older. I mean, he's 66 now. He was 64 roughly then. And so I got to thinking also myself, you know, if it were my last sermon, what would I say? And what would he say? You know, and I enjoyed some of the things he said. Well, I'll bring out maybe some of the similar points of some of the notes that I've written down from a couple years ago, maybe. But I think one thing that we have to do as God's children is, you know, we don't do a very good job of meditating on the Scriptures. In the mornings when I wake up and I go to work, I have to often, as I'm driving 30 minutes, 11 miles, 30 minutes, imagine that, right? Plenty of time to think. And as I'm sitting there driving these this distance, you know, I usually don't, I used to listen to Rick and Bubba all the time, and sometimes I'm, you know, I'll put on my earphones or something, but a lot of times, you know, I'll sit in silence or whatever, and I'll just be thinking about the day. And each and every day, you have to really ask yourself this, you know, as I thought about Brother Blanchard's sermon, is he was 64 years old at the time that he thought about this, and he left behind a lot of good nuggets that we are actually supposed to get now. He doesn't want us to be 64 and finally look back and say, yes, I should have, looking back on all the years that I've wasted or ruined or this, that, and the other. There's some things he's wanting you to think about now. And I think as a minister or most pastors, their desire would be that their congregations would actually take what is given to them on Sundays or any time during the week and actually ponder the Scriptures. And so as I say, you know, some days I think about, I think about a lot of things. Some of the things that are left behind here is, last week I tried or attempted to speak on liberty out at the nursing home. And in one of the verses that I brought out of that is that here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in the last few verses, he says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And one of the things that I have to put in my perspective as I live life, as each and every day, as I'm journeying along, as I'm going through life's journey, is that a lot of times I get into the flesh. A lot of times you get into the flesh. And a lot of times we think so many things matter in this world when really they don't. We get so caught up in whatever we find important at that very moment in time. And it'll drive us nuts. It happens all the time in families, happens all the time in churches. And, you know, it's all about my way, it's all about her way, this, that, and the other. And, you know, when we have to put it back into perspective is that, you know what? Fear God and keep his commandments. I can remember a sermon back earlier this spring over at Vestavia. And I always have to remember every time I read this verse here of making many books, there is no end. I don't know how many books that are out there that reference the book of Revelation. And everybody, of making many books, right? You know, much studies weariness of the flesh. Elder John Mizell preached a wonderful sermon there at Vestavia on the book of Revelation. And he went through all the, he's like, you got the beast with all these horns, and you got this vial and that vial and this trumpet and that trumpet. And he goes through all these things. And he gets about, 30 minutes into it, and he says, you know what? Jesus still wins in the end. You know, does all this really matter? You know, we're trying to pinpoint, when this is going to happen, when that's going to happen. And yes, God, left behind prophecies and signs for us to look for signs looking for his coming. And yes, those are things that we need to be aware of, but realize still, Jesus still wins in the end. And so every day that you live life, you have to realize, fear God, keep his commandments, and put it back into perspective. One of the things that, we want to realize in all of this is that as we live life, I have to be very careful because, sometimes when, whether it's me and Sammy, we're talking or this, that, and the other, and we talk about just different things that are going on. Sometimes, we say, I don't care, or, that doesn't really matter to me, or this, that, and the other. And as we're going through life, we have to realize over in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, you read here where God's really trying to tell you, God's given you a whole lot. And he says, just be generous with what you have. And so sometimes when you communicate with others, you have to recognize as you're going through life, something comes up in your family, comes up in the church, and you just think it's the most important thing, but you realize you forget to be generous to others. And you forget that, God's blessed you with so much. And we are creatures by habit. The habits we form really define who we are. And so if we keep the focus that we're to fear God and keep His commandments and keep in focus every single day that God's blessed us with more than we deserve and we are to be generous with what we have, we won't be worried so much about what I want, okay? And so here in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, you read some scripture that says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, even saith the Lord of hosts." And we have to realize that, we take for granted so much that we have that we forget to be generous all along life's way. And when we're fearing God, again, I'm putting this all into perspective. I've taken this idea that, my goal is to keep my focus and my picture, this thing that I form in my head of heaven that I'm going to see one of these days. Solomon left behind for us a clue that says, at the end of all this vanity that he went through, he says, fear God. Don't be worried. Take heed to the preacher's words. He's seeking out acceptable things for you to take and for you to understand. And so we're kind of transitioning into this now, that one of the things we need to realize is understand what is important in life. God's going to bless you, and he's going to bless you and make sure that we delight ourselves in him and realize where he is blessing us. Now, sometimes we get, I think about, the Lord blesses us with so many things that we take for granted. And he's trying to tell us to be generous because the Lord is blessing you. So what do you take for granted? Do you take your children for granted? God says that the fruit of the womb is a heritage unto the Lord. Do we take that for granted? Recognizing that was a precious gift from God that he has given us. Now, recent weeks, we've talked about food and raiment and certain things. But when thinking about, sometimes we can neglect our children, neglect our friends and our family. And, we don't take time just to sit around. And this goes back to my statement about meditating. Do you ever just sit and think about how God actually has blessed you? Do you sit and ponder that? What answers did you come up with? I think that's important. What answers you come up with when you say, "I think God's blessed me"? Well, he's blessed me with a car. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. But how about a house? That's great. Food, transportation, shelter. How about two working legs? It puts things into perspective. How about all your fingers? NFL player recently in the Independence Day celebration blew off two of his fingers with fireworks. I wonder how well he's going to be at blocking and passing or catching the ball wherever his position was. It's the little things that we take for granted. And God says to be generous with what we have. Don't rob the Lord. If the Lord has richly blessed you, make sure you are given that back, because the Lord will continue to bless. And as we think about a lot of these things, and again, I'm not going to take up too much time this afternoon, but one thing that I've been really trying to focus on at work is trying to, or I guess at home, trying to take work and home. And, Sammy may say, "You need to continue to work on this because I don't do it that well," but I'm working on it. Is trying to unplug myself. Unplug myself from my phone. Unplug myself from the idea of work. I get home. I'm not working at home. Well, unless I'm doing, of course, eventually I'll be doing yard work and that kind of stuff. But, you know, actually unplugging from work, not letting my job, my secular job, really bother me in ways that I have in the past. And I can't stress to y'all how important it is that when you read God's word, I guess the question I want to come to is I'll phrase it this way. How well are you personally retaining the word of God? Because if you're not meditating on it, then I know, I mean, you're not thinking about it. And if you're not thinking about God's word, I certainly know you're not retaining it. You know, growing up, my you know, mom and dad always got on to me because I didn't really enjoy reading. And when it came ACT time, my lowest score was on reading comprehension because I couldn't retain anything. And that was something I've had to work on throughout the years, is I've trying to retain the things that I've read and retain the things that I've learned. And I didn't realize then how important it was, but I realize now how important it is. And I think where I end up in my life at the age of 28, where I'll end up at the age of 58 or 68, is going to be very dependent upon how well I retain God's word. And I don't want to be sitting there, I guess, on my deathbed wondering what heaven's going to look like or what heaven's going to be like or what the description of heaven. I want to know it now and carry it with me every day. I don't want to sit there and ponder certain, you know, again, of much study is weariness to the flesh. Fear God. Keep his commandments. There's an end. I want you to understand that if there's something that you can carry with you now for the rest of your life, is latch hold or lay hold on the things that are very important to you into God's word and never forget them, but yet put them into practice every single day, every single and every single aspect of your life. I think the last thing that I would like to probably turn over to is over in Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. And in Joshua 24, it says something that like this, and this is something, again, about perspective, things that I meditate on, things that I think about. And, you know, why am I sitting here telling y'all this afternoon about things that I think about? Well, certainly I just don't feel like we do enough of this. And I really, when I say do enough of this, I mean actually think. It's a great concern to me as we are living our lives, that we, or America today, and God's people, Christians all across this country today, only look at church as an activity that you do on Sunday morning for a brief time. That's how they view God. That's their connection with God. Is it's something you do on Sunday. You don't do anything with it during the week. It's just something you do on Sunday. And I don't quite understand that, because I can tell you tomorrow there will be something that happens to me something will happen that I will need God's word for grace to go through it. And so I find God's grace in every area of my life, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's through interaction with other people or going to the grocery store or whatever. You know, sometimes have you ever just, I don't know, this is just one of those things. Have you ever just stopped and paused while you're checking out at Walmart? We get such in the habit of just, you know, we swap that card. It's so quick, it's so easy, you know, and we're out the door. But you ever just sit there and stop to think that, you know, wow, how blessed am I that I actually can swipe this card? You know, I haven't been over to places like Africa, like where Brother Austin is today. Those folks don't have that kind of stuff. They don't. And we take it for granted, because we don't sit here and ponder on the things of God. We don't ponder on heaven. We don't ponder on what God's done for us. We sit there, again, it's like what Brother Adam says, you know, we've come to church, we got our check mark, we off back into our daily lives. And, you know, I just don't want us to be that way. You know, I have to sit there and I want to think every single day. And the verses here in Joshua 24 really bring it home to me. And it says in verse 13, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor." and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat?" Yeah, I have to put things into perspective for me. I'm getting in a house in 2 weeks. I didn't build it. I didn't do anything. And you're saying, "Well, Brother Derek, you're definitely paying for it." Yes. Where did that money come from, though? Right. Eventually, I'm going to answer enough questions that I'm going to get back to the goodness and grace of God. Okay? Amen. I'm going to... They cleared the land. I didn't have anything to do with that. They cleared it. They built the house. Nothing. Again, I may have made some choices, or Sammy may have made some choices there. But again, it didn't take the sweat of my brow and the strength of my back to do anything. You say, "Well, Derek, you definitely worked for that money." Well, yeah. Who gave me the health and strength to do that? Who gave me the brain to do that? Who gave all of that to me? And again, I have to get back the answer. It was God. I could have very well. He could have created me. In a position, he could have created me again in a position to where I was born without the function of my lower legs. He could have given me without the function of half my brain. He could have made me a mute. He could have made me deaf. He could have made me blind. For all I know, yet he blessed me with all these things. And so again, perspective. Get it back into the right perspective. As you're sitting here living, I want to look back. If I'm 64 years old, I don't want to look back and learn some, again, I hope I'm learning some new crazy things then. But I want to make sure between now and that time frame, I'm working on these things and recognizing where God's blessed me all along the way. Amen. I don't want to look back and see it. I want to see it all while I'm living. Yeah. Problem that we have here in America is we don't see God's blessings right in front of us. You know, and this goes back to the liberty discussion that I had last week with you, with the folks here and the folks out at the nursing home. It's very easy for us to get in the mindset and the time and the mind frame that there's oppression all around us. The media is full of it. It's all in our newspapers. It's all on the internet. Oppression, oppression. You know, I'm not free. You know what? You're as free as you want to be in Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's all about how you think about it. How do you meditate on those kinds of things? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So if you know, again, if you just sit and meditate, what's that? That's just fellowship with God and His Word. Just sit and fellowship. Now you have liberty. And just think on these types of things that a lot of what you have, you didn't work for. If I'm able to buy a car here in a few years, I didn't put the car together. You know, so many of us Americans, we take it for granted for being able to just go put gas in it down the street. Now therefore fear the Lord, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. I sit there and ponder a lot of days, even on my ways or my commutes to work. I sit there and ponder, what are my own gods? What are the idols in my life? What are the idols in your life? Do you have any? Have you ever really sat around and thought about it? Because, you know, we're not here worshiping Baal, and we're not here worshiping this other, physical or images or this kind of thing. But what is your God? What is your idol that you've put in your life? Again, I don't want to be 68 years old and looking back and realize all these gods that I've been serving. I want to make sure I recognize them now and I just cast them aside while I live. That's how we get lost. That's how we wander off path. And that's how we chase and go down years and years or months and years or days or whatever of just tormenting ourselves because we fail to realize that we just need to serve God and we need to serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And it seemed evil unto you, And if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many of us always can remember that that's Joshua 24:15? You see it everywhere. You see it on that, you know, we see it on the once a year Christians, you know that once a year Christian one that shows up on Easter but doesn't come any other time. But you walk into his house and he's got, "As for me and my house, we serve the Lord," kind of thing. And you're thinking, yeah, you really do serve the Lord. Not really. And, you know, we think, you know, those kinds of thoughts really pass through our minds. But I have to say, I was ashamed that I did not even know where that verse was. I've seen it my whole life in many homes that I walk into, and I couldn't tell you it was Joshua 24:15. I'm ashamed of that. And as I think about that, I think about what it says over in Acts chapter 20. The only thing that I can hope, and I know today there was a vote, and I appreciate the church for that, and this may not be going that well this afternoon, mainly just because I have a lot of thoughts going in about 100 different directions. But here it says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, "And from Miletus he sent Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto him, You know, from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 24. Well, I'll just continue reading verse 20. "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You know, as I sit here and look at all the things that, you know, Solomon's warnings of, you know, fear God, keep his commandments, I see what Joshua said. You know, you recognize that all the blessings that you have in this world, everything, he says, you didn't work for any of it. God gave it to you. I look at all these things, and all I can say, or all I can hope, is that I can speak like that in Acts, where it tells us that I finished my course with joy. That all the while I lived a life in which I kept the faith, I worked hard in the ministry, and I tried to warn God's people of all the pitfalls while reminding them about the awesome grace that we have in Him. I'm a very picturesque kind of person. I have a visual of what I think heaven's going to be like because I read it. If you don't, go read it. Go read Revelation 21. See what's lying in wait for me and you one of these days. And all I can say really is, Lord, come quickly. Because I can tell you, I read that part where it says there's no more pain. There's no more tears. There's no more crying or sorrows. And there's no more death. See, how many times do we realize every time that someone dies or passes away, or we have family members who are sick, do we remind ourselves of 1 Corinthians 15 where it says the sting of death is sin? And put it back into perspective that the wages of sin is death, and the reason I'm going to die is because of the sin that is in this world. But who's the victory through? Yeah. Amen. That's the things that I want God's people to remember all while they live. And don't wait till you're of old age and trying to catch back up and redeem all that time. Start now. You know, putting it into perspective, because I tell you, we're living in a day and age right now that we're going to have to cling to something soon. And I don't know how bad it's going to get, but I imagine it's going to get worse because the Bible promises it's going to get worse. See, we think it's bad now. In the Bible, really what Paul said is, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you want to lean or grab a hold of something, start retaining your word and get a picture of what glory is going to be like. I guarantee if you hold that picture with you your whole life, it's going to be a lot better. Lord bless y'all.